be with him momentarily. All right, we have got everything started. And the next, Joe Varner will do during the breaks when they play commercials, he'll turn down the sound so we can talk like right now. And then when you hear the commercials come back up, that means we will be going back live, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. And what I'll do at the beginning of the show, I'll do a little introduction, and we do a little ad, what's new in the store, and then we'll jump right into Joe Martinez. And you will be the star of the show for the next hour here on the Owl's Nest Barbecue Show live on Facebook and on Talk Radio 102.3. All the Facebook guests, if you want to listen, say, well, I wonder what that listens or what that sounds like on the radio. If you're not in the local area, go to WGOW.com, hit the Listen Live icon. You'll have to listen to an ad real quick, and then they'll go right to the live feed on WGOW.com, a Cumulus radio station.
I'm a huge fan of a new product in the store.
Yeah, that. Do you do a lot of meat church stuff, Joe?
I've got some meat church rubs. I do.
Yeah, we he's got the chicken breading. Have you had that yet?
Chicken breading?
Yeah, the stuff you make fried chicken in.
Oh my goodness!
Oh my gosh! It's. I've always used Hooters. I thought Hooters was the best, and this stuff just kills it. It kills it.
My son and I looked at each other last night after we made it. I said, hey, is this as good as, you know, I mentioned a local place here that he loves to go to, and he goes, we don't need to go there anymore. It is. And he never compliments me when I cook. He's one of those kids that busts your nuts. He said, you know, this is flat out, we don't need to go there anymore.
It's all right, Dad. It's all right.
That's right. Crappy kids.
Yeah.
Keep them outside and don't talk to them.
Yeah. On a chain.
We'll be going live on Talk Radio 102.3 here in just a few seconds. Welcome to the show, everybody. Joe Martinez from El Paso, Texas, is our guest tonight here on the Facebook Live side and on the Talk Radio side.
Situation. Talk Radio 102.3, WGOW-FM.
Talk Radio 102.3 FM, the Talk Monster.
Welcome to the weekend, and welcome to The Barbecue Show with Steve Ray. The Barbecue Show is brought to you by the Alster's Barbecue Supply and Pro Shop in Ottawa, by the historic Midnight Oil Service Station in Ottawa, by Michelin Tires, because so much is riding on your time, and by all the great barbecue products and supplies at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply and Pro Shop. I know you've got questions, and we've got answers, so pick up the phone, 423-267-1023, and let's talk some barbecue. All right, everybody, welcome to the show. It is the weekend, and it's time to start smoking and grilling right here on the Owl's Nest Barbecue Show live here on Talk Radio 102.3 and simulcasting on the Owl's Nest Barbecue Facebook page on your laptop computer. Our number, 423-267-1023, 423-267-1023. Your phone calls about barbecue are welcome all during the show, 423-267-1023. If you've got questions, we'll have answers for you. The broadcast partner is Backyard Smokers Barbecue tonight on Facebook, the number one destination on Facebook for your question, answers, and even if you want to do a little post, if you want to post some pictures and do a little barbecue bragging, go to Backyard Smokers Barbecue on Facebook. Joe Varner is in the radio studio handling those things. We are in touch, so you be in touch with us. Follow Owl's Nest Barbecue on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, all at Owl's Nest Barbecue. And don't forget, this podcast or this cast is always available on podcasts wherever your favorite podcast is originating from. 267-1023, the sponsor of what's new in the store tonight. Let me shift papers here. I thought I had everything in order, and of course I don't, but that's what makes live radio so fun. What's new at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply this week is sponsored by Uncle Steve's Rubs, shaken on everything. We carry the complete line from Texas of Uncle Steve's Rubs that guarantee a flavor explosion in every single bite. Uncle Steve's Rubs available at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ottawa. Now, this week we expanded our line of grill grates. These aluminum plates go on top of your existing grill grates. The grill grates add flavor stripes to your steaks and it stops flare-ups, and they're great for chicken. If you like to grill chicken wings like I do, the way I do chicken wings, I like to smoke them in the smoker, take them up to about 130 degrees, 135 degrees, and then take them off the smoker and then finish them off on the grill. And that's when I use the grill grates. You can get those grill grates super hot, so you can put the wings on the grill grates and you can sear the skin and make it super crispy, but you don't get the flare-ups like you do when you put them on the grill. You know, when you do chicken wings, you've got to cook them at a real low temperature on your grill regularly because you get so much fire. These grill grates stop that. They're worth the money just doing chicken wings, and they're available now at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply. We have an extended line, so we probably have a kit that fits your grill in stock. Also now in stock are the Memphis Wood Fire Grills. The stainless steel pellet smokers hold temperature great and also include the exclusive fire steak sear for the perfect taste on your steaks. And also in stock is Butcher Barbecue Cure for fresh hams and turkey legs. Now, if you've ever been to a fair, or especially Disneyland, down in Orlando, and you see everybody walking around with those turkey legs, and you know you came home and you said, I can make those turkey legs, and then you made them, and you couldn't get them tender. They were tough as, they were just terrible. They tasted awful because you didn't cure them. That's the secret. You've got to cure turkey legs, and we have the cure by Butcher Barbecue in stock at the Owl's Nest Barbecue store, and we'll be glad to show you how to use it. It's easy, and if anybody is a fan of Bird Brassey here in Chattanooga, and you've had Bird's chicken legs, that's his secret. He cures those chicken legs, and they are fantastic. You ever do chicken legs, Jeff?
I have.
Did you cure them?
I have never cured a bird.
Well, then they tasted bad then.
Well,
ain't nothing worse than a bad turkey. All right, here you go. We're
deep fried them.
We're gonna that'll work. We're gonna introduce our special guest tonight, live from the city of El Paso, Texas, a city that sits 3,700 feet above sea level. And for comparison, the radio studio here of Owl's Nest Barbecue in the Snow Hill Valley of Ootowah is 710 feet above sea level. If you travel just a little further west of El Paso, they have a name for that. It's called You Are in New Mexico. El Paso, the furthest spot west in the state of Texas. And from the Texas municipality called the Sun City, for its 302 on average sunny days a year, Joe Martinez, right with us now of Smokin' Joe's Pit Barbecue. Joe, how you doing?
Good, Steve. How are you?
We're doing great. I appreciate you taking the time to be here on the show with us. Was it another sunny day today in El Paso, Texas?
It was cloudy, but most of the day it was sunny, and I'm surprised with how much you know about El Paso. Thank you.
Well, it's one of my favorite cities I've never been to.
If he didn't own a gas station, he'd be a research librarian.
Now you think about Joe and I. And I didn't know this till we talked the other day. We are of the same technical background. Joe was an auto mechanic, as was I, and he is now in management with O'Reilly's in El Paso. Tell everybody what you do for O'Reilly's in El Paso, Joe.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. I'm a regional sales manager for O'Reilly Auto Parts, so I cover half of the state of New Mexico, so from Silver City, New Mexico, all the way across to Hobbs on Fort Talis, New Mexico, and all the way down to El Paso. So keeps me pretty busy. Been with the company for 23 years, but you are correct. I used to turn wrenches for a living.
Oh, so did.
And, I don't miss it.
You know, if I had to do it again, I could. But, you know, my biggest problem with doing it and when I had to fix things now around the house or in the shop, I can't see. That's my biggest problem. I'd have to get some sort of special glasses. I can't see anymore. That's what happens when get old.
Let me give you an idea of how long it's been since I turned wrenches. So oxygen sensors were coming into the automotive industry back when I was wrenching. They were just coming in, mm-hmm. and there were no, you know, diagnostic tools like there are today. We had breakout boxes, and if you wanted to diagnose something, you had a box and select your pin and run resistance and voltage tests, and that's how we did diagnostics back in the day.
Those were horrible. Those were horrible days.
Terrible.
They were horrible days. Well, Joe, thanks for being on the show with us. Now we're gonna go from the, you know, I did a car show here on Talk Radio for about 16 or 17 years. I feel like it, Joe, I feel like it's the old Saturday morning radio garage here with Joe Martinez from O'Reilly's Auto Parts. But we're talking barbecue tonight with Joe Martinez of Smoking Joe's Pit Barbecue. And if you're wondering, man, that sounds familiar. If you're a YouTube person that likes to watch YouTube videos on about barbecue, I guarantee you have stumbled past Smoking Joe's Pit Barbecue YouTube channel. 50,000 subscribers now yet, Joe?
Close to it. About to hit 45,000.
Yeah, you're close to it, and his content is just super fantastic. And you know, I was watching one the other night that I really, really enjoyed. You were doing chicken, and I have always liked the way they did chicken in the IBCA contest in Texas. They do it totally different than anyone else. So what I want to start out tonight, Joe, we'll talk about all things Texas tonight. We'll get to brisket, and we'll get to pork and ribs with Joe, and we'll even talk a little Tex-Mex. But I want to really concentrate on this chicken at first, okay, Joe, if that's okay with you.
I'm fine with that.
When you were how did you get into barbecue when you are from the Mecca of Tex-Mex cuisine in El Paso?
Yeah, it's a funny story. You know, there was, I always cooked in the backyard for friends and family, but mainly it was, you know, chicken and steaks and sausages on the grill. And your friends and family tell you, man, that's really good. What'd you put on it? You know, and it was always real simple seasonings to it. I think when your friends and family say it's good, I mean, it being free has a lot to do with that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so the radio show was advertising a fajita cook-off. And I was into cooking fajitas at that time, and I thought I had something good. And I was like, man, who am I going to compete with? And I said, well, let's give it a shot. So I entered this fajita cooking competition, and I ended up winning. And I wasn't expecting to win. And I was like, well, maybe I've got something. So the more I cooked fajitas, and then, you know, I got into smoking barbecue, and that's when the bug really bit me.
Yeah.
You know, I was in trouble at that point. There's no turning back, you know, when you're in that deep. But that's how I got into it. You know, everybody, I think, barbecue in the backyard, burgers, dogs, steaks, chicken.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get into smoking, it's a different animal. And, you know, I ruined a few briskets before I figured it out.
Yeah.
And that's how I got into it.
That's a big club, ruining briskets. I'm a member of that club. What was your first cooker?
I actually had a Weber Smoky Mountain.
There you go.
With a water pan in it, mm-hmm. You know, and I was that guy that used to put my wood chips in water and, you know. But I used that smoker till it just came apart, But I was really surprised that such a simple grill smoker could produce such good food, you know?
Yeah, now that was probably before the advent of pellet cookers, which are the absolute easiest thing to use now. And that Weber was very easy to use. And I wish when I had started, Joe and Jeff, when somebody had said, if you want to get into barbecue, use this vessel. I wish someone had told me you get a Smoky Mountain smoker.
That's a great starting point.
Because I bought one of those cheap offsets at Lowe's, and you just learn. You don't learn to barbecue. You learn to try to keep a fire above your smoker above 220 degrees, because they're so poorly made, and you get so frustrated. And then you talk about, you know, ruining briskets, Joe. It takes 20 hours to cook a brisket on one of those things.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good place to start too, because you learn fire management. Okay. And it's those really maintain heat really well. So it takes a lot of the pressure off. Those are great starting points.
Absolutely. It is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I had those cheap smokers that it's a gas grill on one side. In fact, it popped up on my feed, my Facebook feed from 9 years ago, I think it was. And it was a char boiler, I think. And I don't quote me on that, but half of it was a gas grill. Half of it was a smoker. And in that picture, as I zoomed in on the front of that lid, I placed foil right on that front lip because, like you said, Steve, they're just poorly made. So it teaches you the hard way. You know, I'm plugging up holes in this thing, trying to get it consistent in temperatures and trying to smoke something for 20 hours. But, hey, we all started there, and I'm kind of glad that I started, you know, with one of those too, because it really teaches you fire management.
Well, it teaches you how to be a fireman, a technician, and you know, a cook, all in one fell swoop, as they say. So you started out with the fajitas, you got into barbecue. We talked about what you're cooking now. What are you cooking on these days?
I mainly cook on Yoder smokers.
Mm-hmm.
I am an ambassador for Yoder smokers, and I got their pellet smoker, a Yoder Y640 pellet smoker. I've got my big offset is a Yoder Frontiersman, and that's where the majority of my cooks are done. And I also have a Yoder flat top, which is like a charcoal grill, but it also doubles as a smoker. You can use it as a smoker and have that kind of that backyard barbecue flavor on your brisket and stuff. So really universal grill smoker, if you will. But yeah, Yoder, and I bring out my Weber kettle still. I think everybody's got a Weber kettle, right?
I don't, but I'm the only one in the United. I'm the only one in the United States. I've got a PK, but I know, but I need to go. I feel like I need to buy one. I really do. I feel like I have let Weber down by not owning a Weber kettle.
I've had a kettle since I was like 18.
Everybody has. Everybody has a Weber kettle. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go to our first break, Joe. And when we come back, get ready. Get your pencils and pads ready. We're talking Texas chicken with Joe Martinez from Smokin' Joe's Pit Barbecue, direct from El Paso, Texas. So stay with us.
You're facing me.
All over it.
You're facing me.
I've been concentrating on this.
You're facing me.
Joe, can you hear Jeff when he talks?
I can.
Can you hear me when I talk?
Yeah. Joe Varnon, can you hear Jeff when he talks? Yep. Okay. But you gotta talk like this. You can't talk like this.
I'm into the mic.
Microphone 101.
I'm into the microphone like this.
Now, Joe, I've got on, are you watching on Facebook on the side?
I am.
Okay, I've got you up on the V-cam with chickens in the background. You're prepping chickens.
Yep.
They look good. I rewatched that video you did last night of these chickens, and I was so motivated, I ran to the grocery store today, bought two of them and cut two of them in half and smoked them for the guys at the gas station.
Ooh, nice.
And they turned out great.
I saw that actually.
Oh, did you?
I saw that video you put out.
Yeah. They turned out really good.
Very nice.
So I've already learned something from you.
There you go.
I saw Russ Jones was in the chat room just a little bit ago. If anybody in the chat would like to call 267-423-267-1023, 423-267-1023, that is our telephone number if you want to call, and you can get on the phone.
We actually have a chat question.
Okay.
Coming out of the break if you want to do that.
All right. Well, I'll reintroduce some, and we'll do that. That sounds good. I had no idea where El Paso was. I didn't realize it was in New Mexico.
Yeah, we stabbed the state of New Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, you're almost in Mexico.
Yeah, I'm on one border it's New Mexico, the other border it's Mexico.
Mexico. I mean, it looked like if you walked out your front porch, whoops, I'm in Mexico.
Yeah. Oops, how'd that get here?
Yeah. It's like we have room. It's like in Texas, we have room for one more city. Let's just stick it right here, right in this corner.
Yeah. And it used to, it's called El Paso, which translates to the pass, because that's all it was. You just passed through El Paso.
We don't pass through it anymore. 600,000 people.
Oh, it's more than that. I mean, it's close to a million. I mean, there's a, their numbers aren't correct.
Well, you're probably right. It's probably that's probably just like in the city limits, but your municipal area is probably huge, like Atlanta. I think there's only I think there's only like 250,000 people that live in Atlanta within the city limits, but the surrounding area has the other 10,800,000.
Yeah.
And that's probably 4 years ago on the census.
Yeah.
Yeah, those numbers are so old, yeah.
Have you ever visited the southeast part of the country?
I have.
Okay, here we go. Welcome back to the Owl's Nest Barbecue Show live here on Talk Radio 102.3. The Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply is the proud home of all the Butcher Barbecue products. From two-time barbecue world champion David Bosca, his rubs, sauce, and grilling oils turn ordinary barbecue into extraordinary barbecue. Grilling addiction rub to the famous barbecue mud. Get your Butcher Barbecue products at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ultewa. Our special guest is Joe Martinez. And if you are watching on Facebook right now, you are watching a video of Joe prepping his famous Texas chicken. Before we get into that, Jeff's got a question off of our chat. Go ahead, Jeff.
Teresa Massengale asks, what kind of tools do you need to cook chicken and barbecue in Texas, and do you also do veggies?
Yeah, so, you know, the one thing about my YouTube channel is I've never actually cooked sides. I was in charge of the protein, and my wife would mainly cook the side dishes. So there's always some kind of vegetables, maybe a pasta or some rice. And there's my wife there in the picture, my lovely wife, Patsy. But she's in charge of the sides. But one thing I found recently is that a lot of people want to see the sides. Hey, what pairs with this chicken, or what pairs with the steak, or what pairs with brisket? And so I started incorporating some of that into my videos here recently. So great question. And the most important tool that you need for grilling or smoking chicken is a internal instant read thermometer. That right there, nobody should be cooking chicken without that thing.
Absolutely.
That's my personal opinion.
Absolutely. Chicken is so much better when it's pulled off between 160 and 165. I mean, it's pretty good at 180, but when it's pulled off just over that, it won't kill you line. It's pretty good.
The only other thing, that's a good boning knife if you're going to splatchcock or cut the chicken like Joe does Texas style.
Yeah.
All those tools. All right, let's get into it. Let's start it off, Joe. Page two of notes. Let's start with the method first. You got that chicken. You got it out of the wrap. Let's start butchering it up.
Yeah, so that clip you were showing earlier, you know, I think it's the Texas-style chicken. A lot of people will think that I'm speaking about salt and pepper, but it's not salt and pepper. Although that is a rub that we like down here in Texas, the Texas-style chicken would be more of a split chicken, where you split your chicken in half. So that requires you taking the backbone off of the chicken on both sides, using some good shears or a good sharp knife, and splitting that chicken in half. If you go to barbecue joints throughout Texas, that is the way that you will find the chicken. It's split in half, and it not only does it cook better because you're introducing more smoke on the bottom of that chicken and also on the top, but it just looks better than, in my personal opinion, I think, than separating a chicken in the wing and the leg and the breast. But that is traditionally the way that we would do it in Texas, is you would just take the backbone out, and then you would split the breastbone. You can just kind of lay it back on your cutting board and press down right in between the chicken breast, and that will crack the breastbone. I like to help that breastbone crack by taking a good sharp knife and just slicing right in between that cartilage, and that'll help break that that breastbone in half. And you just take your knife and run it right down the center and split your chickens in half. And that, you know, that's the way we do it out here in Texas. And there's also some, you know, like IDCA that does their chickens that way, a lot of competition cooks. That's how I learned. Now, IDCA, when you're competing, it's a similar style, but you want to be very careful on how much skin you take off and want to make sure your skin is even so it doesn't come up on you when it's smoking. But that is traditionally the way that we do Texas down here in Texas.
Well, I did it today after, like I said, I got the inspiration from your videos. I watched it again last night, so I ran over to our local Food City and grabbed a couple birds. And I had never done them like that. I've spatchcocked them before. I've never been a fan of that. I don't like, you know, everybody says it looks good presentation. I think it looks terrible. So I went ahead and split them like you did. And Joe, I got to tell you, and Jeff, those were delicious. I've never cooked a chicken that good. And I guess it was because all, you know, the parts inside that I usually don't get to, that don't get a lot of good cooking smoke internally, that now got the smoke on it. I mean, it was a totally different taste than anything that I've ever cooked before.
Now, Joe, the question I have is, you know, when you do it this way, what you're doing is getting more surface area of the chicken to the smoke. And that's the purpose of it, correct?
Correct, yeah, and it's going to cook a lot more evenly than if you had like a beer can chicken or a whole chicken, because you know when you're cooking a whole chicken on a smoker, you're either going to have the thighs on the bottom of the grate or the breast on the bottom of the grate, and it's going to cook faster on one side. So cutting it open like this Texas style allows that chicken to cook more evenly, where you're not going to have that temperature, that big temperature difference as if you were to cook it whole. It's the same thing as a turkey. You know, when you're cooking a turkey, usually the dark meat, which is the, you know, the thighs and the legs, will be pointing down, the traditional type of cooked turkey or smoked turkey. So that can take more heat than your breast meat or your wing. So splitting it open like this, yes, you do have a lot more surface area and it cooks a lot more even. And again, you're putting smoke where smoke wouldn't normally go because of that cavity. Maybe you stuffed the cavity with something.
Yeah.
It's such a good flavor, like Steve said.
When you when you did yours, I cooked against a guy in Nashville a few years ago, and he was from Texas. And I wish I could remember that man's name. He's a very nice fellow. And he turned his chick. It was a KCBS event, Joe, but he cooked his chicken and he turned it in IBCA style, and he cooked it on a little black cooker that couldn't have cost more than $20 or $30. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. So there's a lot of, they call them chicken boxes, believe it or not.
I believe it because that's the only thing he said he cooked on it.
Yeah. And a lot of, believe it or not, I mean, I'm sure you guys have seen it. When you have an offset smoker, you have about 10 to 12 inches, depending on the size of the smoker, of unusable space because it's so hot there.
Yeah.
And a lot of smokers, offset smokers, will maybe have a second shelf above that area. Well, that's where you want to finish your chicken and get it because it's the hottest part of the smoker. And that little chicken box kind of acts like that one spot. It's hot. Let's cook it in that area, and you can control the temperature, obviously. But I think the best chicken is cooked at a really high temperature. I think you mentioned earlier the way you cook wings, Steve, where you cook them to 130, and then you take them out and you put them on your grill grate. Same thing with a Texas style chicken. You want to do that. You want to, you know, nice low smoke, get some good smoke flavor on it, and once it hits that 130 area, then you want to start applying some heat to it to crisp up that chicken,
yeah,
the chicken skin, and just has a really good flavor at that temperature as well.
I thought it was just fantastic. So what? You're cooking yours though. You're cooking yours on a Yoder, I presume.
Yes,
pellet cooker.
Yeah, I've done it on my pellet smoker, and if you notice, I rarely cook on the bottom part of my Yoder, the bottom grate, because the heat is so intense down there.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm doing chickens and I'm laying them split open, you know, I'm okay with cooking that, because you're really not going to eat anything on the inside of that chicken. It's just acting as a buffer, if you will, to protect that delicious meat on the top, your breast and your legs and thighs.
Mm-hmm. What So what temperature do you set your pellet cook wrap?
So it all depends. If I want chicken, like right now, I'm cooking at 275, and you know, I'll finish it off at 350, maybe even 400. But if I've got time and I want to introduce smoke to that chicken, you know, I'll smoke it at 225. Like a lot of your gauges on your smokers, you know, between that 225 to 250, you'll see that it says smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Anything over that, a lot of the gauges will say barbecuing, right?
Right.
So I've got it both ways. You do get a lot more flavor at that lower temperature, that 225, because you're applying more smoke and the chicken's really taking it in. And the skin of poultry stays nice and wet, so the smoke will stick to a wet surface as opposed to a drier surface. So you end up with a smokier, just a in my opinion, a better tasting chicken, kind of like a low and slow brisket, if you will.
Mm-hmm. All right, right before we got to take a real quick break, but right before we go, are you spritzing your birds? And if you are, what are you spritzing with?
Moisture. Usually like a butter spray or a avocado oil or olive oil.
Avocado oil.
Wow. That sounds interesting.
But I like the butter spray. I'm a butter spray guy too. We're talking and listening to Joe Martinez, Smoking Joe's Pit Barbecue from El Paso, Texas, live here on the Owl's Nest Barbecue Show live. Our number is 267-1023. If you want to call in and ask Joe a question about chicken, we're going to be touching on a little bit of Texas brisket in a little bit, and a whole lot of other things as we continue our conversation with Joe Martinez here on the Owl's Nest Barbecue Show live on Talk Radio 102.3. We'll be right back.
Hey, Joe, one of our regular listeners, Tom Ehid, is asking what you're pouring over that chicken during that video. What's your concoction that you're pouring over?
Two different sauces, two different barbecue sauces. One of them was a rum sauce. And the other one was a sauce that one of my buddies makes. He lives out there in Florida, JP Barbecue. So it was I'm not a really big fan of barbecue sauce, like that traditional barbecue flavor. So those sauces are light on that barbecue. They're thin. Mm-hmm. They're not real pasty like a tomato paste. And that's what I love about them. At a Texas barbecue place, you're not going to find barbecue sauce on your chicken. I'm sorry. You're going to get salt, pepper, and maybe some garlic and paprika, but no barbecue sauce whatsoever.
Use any of the Texas pepper jelly products on it?
Oh, man. That's one of my favorites. I like to mix that with some barbecue sauces just to thin it down a little bit.
I was going to say thin it down. I would think that product would work real good on chicken. I didn't think about that today, and I didn't use any barbecue sauce on the ones that I did today, and we ate them just right off the smoker, and without any sauce at all. And they were delicious. You know, chicken is something that people when they begin to barbecue, they should. I think you should cook chicken all the time. Because you can experiment with flavors, you know, times, temperatures, because, you know, you've got such a large swing with chicken from 160 degrees to really 210, 205 even, 205 to 210, you can still, it's still edible. And, you know, your room for error is so great on chicken. And even if you miss your marks, it still tastes great.
Especially if you're deep frying it. There's a bigger window there.
Deep fry.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people say, well, start with a pork shoulder. Well, a pork shoulder these days isn't as expensive as a whole chicken. You know?
It's not?
Start with chicken, like you said. Oh, no. Pork shoulder right now is, I mean, it's $10, $12, but you can get a whole chicken for $5 or $6.
Like right, that. Yeah. I was going to say, I only paid, I think, $5 a piece for these little chickens that I did.
Yeah, nice. How big were they? These suckers right here were probably 6 pounds. I mean,
they weren't that big. They weren't that big.
No, that's the ones to get. When you go to barbecue joints, you'll find that they do probably 3.5 pound chickens, maybe.
You know, if I was going to do a fundraiser or a barbecue cook for something, I would consider doing half chickens and selling them.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jeff, I think you knock it out of the park. I really do, because they're so tasty, they're easy to do, and they don't take all day. Jeff and I like to do little fundraisers and, you know, little sideline moneymakers around holiday. Like, we're going to do pork butts. I mean, yeah, pork butts this Memorial Day. We did them last, I don't know, 4th of July. It's just kind of fun, you know, get together and cook all day and make a couple bucks, yeah. pay for our barbecue sins, so to speak.
Our addictions, barbecue addictions.
Oh, I hear you.
It allows me to buy maybe one more vessel a year, Joe.
There you go.
Those Yoders are pretty sweet.
Did you season the bottom side? Yeah, did you season the bottom side of your chicken, Steve?
I did. I flipped it. I was worried about the a little unevenness.
This is Talk Radio 102.
I'll tell you about it after this.
WGOW FM.
Talk Radio 102.3.
Welcome back to the Owl's Nest Barbecue Show live here on Talk Radio 102.3. 267-1023. That's our phone number. 267-1023. Jump on the phones. Joe will put you on hold, and we'll get you on with Joe Martinez from El Paso, Texas. Are you a Malcolm Reed fan? Sure you are. Who's not? We have the entire lineup of How to Barbecue Right rubs and sauces at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ootowah. Did you see Malcolm use his classic, the barbecue rub, on a pork butt, then follow it up with his AP? I saw it too, and you can get them both at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ootowah. At the break, we were talking about the little chicken cook I did at the shop today. And Joe, we were talking about the doing half chickens, and Joe asked me if I seasoned the bottom of them, and I said yes, I did. I even turned them over, skin side down, to crisp up the chicken. Joe, was that acceptable, or is that kind of like a no-no?
That is 100% acceptable. You know, I'm one of those guys that if I'm eating chicken like this, a half chicken, I will turn that chicken over, and there are some delicious pieces of chicken on that underside of that chicken that just have flavor that the rest of the chicken doesn't, you know?
Yeah, I thought there's a lot of edible meat down there. And and I tell you what, the skin on top on it, when I was finishing it off, I finished it off. I didn't go as high as you did. I was around 310. And man, it was just real crispy and real tasty. I loved it. I'm going to do it. I may do it again tomorrow for everybody.
I like that piece that's in between the cartilage and the bone on the backside, along the ribs.
Mm-hmm.
You know that one that you slide your finger and you pull that little piece out? That's always very tender.
Kind of like the tube of a chicken, like in a pork butt?
Yeah, it runs between the breast and the backbone. Along, there's a cartilage that runs there.
Yeah.
Hey Joe, what is your favorite profile on chicken? What's your go-to combination?
You know, I cater a lot as well, Steve, so I make my own rub. And again, being from Texas, it's going to be heavy on the pepper. And so I add, you know, of course, black pepper, salt, kosher salt, paprika. I use granulated garlic. And I just started to introduce a little bit of cumin into my rub, and I'm talking, you know, if I'm making 12 ounces of rub, there's probably a quarter of a teaspoon in that of cumin, and just to add that little hint of smokiness onto the food, and people will be like, man, what is that? What is that rub? And it's just simple ingredients, and the reason I do that is because a lot of people I don't want to offend any of my customers with maybe it's too spicy or whatever. And those are ingredients that are safe for anybody, you know, salt, pepper, garlic, and paprika. Those are ingredients that I think the majority of us have in our cabinets right now.
Yeah. So, but you don't sauce them, or you don't have like a favorite little bit of sweetness you pour over it?
I will use, again, I'm not a fan of big, thick barbecue sauces like a Kansas City that are real kind of thick and pasty.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to thin I will use barbecue sauce, but I will thin it down with maybe some Texas pepper jelly. I do make my own sauce as well, using products that are out in the market right now, just to thin it down. And what you saw me pouring over that chicken, I think somebody asked in the chat, what am I pouring over that chicken? Well, it's some of that sauce. I'm a big fan of sauces that are kind of thinned out, that aren't real pasty,
mm-hmm.
like a ketchup, if you will.
Any vinegar profile down there in El Paso?
None whatsoever. In fact, my number one video on YouTube, Steve, is when I did a Texas style pulled pork versus Carolina. They don't call it pulled pork over there in Carolina. No, you got to be careful what you say. They call it Carolina barbecue.
Yeah.
So that's not something that we're used to. In fact, there was a gentleman that I talked to from Carolina, and he gave me his recipe for a vinegar sauce. And it was fantastic. It's something that's new to me, new to Texas, that style of cooking, and I absolutely love it.
Hey,
delicious.
I love a good vinegar sauce. Well, the chicken, the Texas chicken that you made is I guarantee you it's a hit at the Midnight Oil Service Station in Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ootowah with the employees of the proprietorship there, I assure you. People, you know, when people think of Texas, they think of brisket and beef. But I see a lot of people eating spare ribs and pork in Texas. Is that a new thing, or is that just one of those things that people never focus on? They're just always bragging about their brisket, but everybody's kind of like a closet pork butt cooker and eater.
You know, I think everybody that smokes has done a pork butt, so it's not new to us. And it's funny to hear people from Carolina, and they are proud of their pork, and I gotta hand it to them. I'd love to visit Carolina because they have the mustard sauce, the ketchup sauce, and the mustard, ketchup, and vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they are proud of their pork. And it's funny seeing some of the comments people leave. Oh man, leave the pork to us. You guys cook brisket. You know, it's like, well, wait a minute. We cook pulled pork out here all day long too. But brisket is king in Texas. And I agree that I think a lot of people, I don't think that we're closet pulled pork cookers, but a lot of people think that Texas is beef, and it is beef country, but man, we cook a mean pulled pork. Just a salt and pepper pork is the best.
What do they incorporate barbecue into Tex-Mex dishes? I'm not real familiar with Tex-Mex food. Tell me what that is, and everybody can quit laughing. I just don't eat that kind of food, but I would like to if I knew where there was some good Tex-Mex food. What is a Tex-Mex? I go to Taco Bell like everybody else, but I don't think that really qualifies as Tex-Mex.
Not like everybody else.
No, those aren't real tacos, but they're real good when all you do have is $5 bills.
That's right. You give them a $5 bill, they'll throw stuff in your car all day long.
Or you've had six beers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There you go. So Tex-Mex is a twist on Texas-style food, like a brisket, for example. You know, when you smoke a brisket, you're probably having it on the platter with some white bread or something. Tex-Mex, you know, we'll get that brisket slice and put it in a flour tortilla, put some salsa, maybe some avocado on top of it, and that adds that Tex-Mex twist to it. We'll cook beans, pinto beans, and chop up some brisket and throw that in our beans, you know, so you have a Tex-Mex bean or a what we call ranchero beans. So it's just taking what Texas has to offer, and a lot of it is beef, and putting a twist on it. And it usually involves, you know, some some spices and different types of chilies and red chilies and onions and stuff. And it's just, and that's one thing I try to do on my video. In fact, I smoked a brisket and I made some like Tex-Mex tacos, if you will. I didn't use salt and pepper, but I used more cumin and more Mexican type seasonings on that brisket to make tacos, but it's still a brisket. In the Mexican culture, we prepare our briskets a little bit different than smoking it. It's just cooked in the oven with a, like some kind of marinade, and I call that a quinceañera or a wedding mm-hmm. brisket. But that is absolutely delicious. You know,
yeah.
we'll eat that with some beans and some potato salad and some tostadas or something. So it's kind of a something that we do outside of the barbecue. So, but Tex-Mex is it means so many things, and it usually involves just putting a twist on what already exists out there. A little Mexican twist, if you will.
Absolutely. We're going to take our last real quick break. This is a real quick one. Joe, you stand by. If ribs are your barbecue thing, then I have the thing for you. Craig Sherry's famous Texas rib jelly and Texas rib candy, plus his chicken and barbecue rubs are now available at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ottawa. Treat your ribs with a taste of Texas from Craig Sherry and the boys at Craig Sherry's famous Texas rib jelly and Texas rib candy. We're talking with Joe Martinez of Smokin' Joe's Pit Barbecue live from El Paso, Texas, and we'll be right back. Hang on. I promise we're getting to the brisket right out of this break. Joe, everybody loves to talk about brisket. Everybody loves to talk about brisket.
Oh, yeah.
We could do the brisket hour every hour. I love it.
You know what's funny is that, obviously I've got a barbecue channel and I was kind of tipped. So that chicken video that you were playing earlier, that video, that's one of my first videos that kind of went viral.
Mm-hmm.
It went, 100,000 views, and I was like, holy smokes, chicken? Are you kidding me? I was kind of ticked that my chicken video, I've got hundreds of brisket videos out there, and the chicken one is the one that starts taking off before the brisket does.
Well, it just goes to show you, people love to cook chicken because it's easy. It's a go-to protein, and
it's inexpensive.
Yeah, it's cheap, and it's basically a tasteless meat that you got it's just a good flavor carrier.
Well, and plus, you have families that they have young kids, and that'll feed a lot of them very inexpensively, and they'll actually eat it.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a president at one time that said that he wanted a chicken in every pot or something like that?
That was,
who was that?
I'm afraid it wasn't, I believe it was Hoover, I think, said chicken in every pot. I think it was Herbert Hoover, who didn't last long. That thing called the Depression kind of moved him right out of the White House.
All right, I'm going to ask my good friend Google. It was Hoover.
Was it? Okay, here's my presidential knowledge for 500, Alex. In heaven.
Or Aaron Rodgers. Or Anderson Cooper.
Aaron Rodgers was so bad, he was good. I don't know if you watch Jeopardy. We're big Jeopardy junkies down here. Aaron Rodgers was so bad, he's good.
That's hilarious.
I loved all those special guest hosts.
Actually, Anderson Cooper actually sounds like Alex Trebek.
Well, Anderson Cooper, he's pretty smooth. I mean, he used to host, CNN used to do a little Jeopardy thing with their guys years ago, and he was always the host. He's a pretty smooth fella.
We were watching it last night, and my son goes, "Oh, he sounds like Alex Trebek," and I closed my eyes and go, "Yeah, he does."
But I hope Ken Jennings gets the real job. He deserves it.
Yeah,
because he is the smartest guy. He's the smartest guy in the room.
Is he inquired about that job?
Say what?
Has he inquired about being the host of that show?
Have who me?
Jennings.
Oh, yeah, he was the first guest host. He was the first one.
ABC News.
All right, here we go. Here we go. All right, all you pellet heads out there, your pellet smoker needs a quality fuel at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply. We stock Barbecuer's Delight pellets that will keep your smoker running smoothly with great flavor. Everything from mesquite, oak, hickory to cherry, apple, you can trust Barbecuer's Delight pellets to stoke your smoker with flavor and dependability. All right, we can't talk to Joe Martinez from El Paso, Texas, without taking the opportunity to talk about brisket. Joe, tell me about your Texas brisket. What size do you look for? What's the flavor profile? What cooker? What temperatures? And when do you wrap or not wrap? And what's your doneness temperature?
Okay. So I like to buy briskets that are probably in that 18-pound range.
Yeah.
Because I tend to trim my briskets pretty aggressively. So I will trim. It's nothing for me to trim 3-4 pounds off of that brisket.
Yep.
And make it nice and aerodynamic. So that smoke just rolls over that brisket. I was never a really big fan of mustard until I had this pretty popular pitmaster send me a private message and said, "Hey, try using mustard on your brisket." And I was like, "This guy's crazy." And I tried it, and mustard, I got to tell you, is like the vice grip to rubs. There's my mechanic little twist to this.
Yeah.
So it really grabs a hold of that rub, and it does not let it go. My rub is my go-to rubs. Suckle Busters does have 1836, but the one that I use when I cater is the rub that we spoke about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Salt, pepper, granulated garlic, paprika, and a little bit of cumin. That is my go-to rub, and I apply it pretty heavily. Put it in my offset smoker, 275 degrees, and that usually takes about 4 hours for me to develop a really nice color on that brisket, a nice bark. And once I develop that bark, and then I will wrap in butcher paper.
Mm-hmm.
Early on, when I started smoking, I used foil. You guys may have heard the Texas crutch, and that crutch is that you put it in foil and it's going to cook a lot faster.
Right.
And stay nice and moist, but your bark does get a little bit soft, almost like icing on a cake, if you will. So I do wrap in butcher paper, and I really don't, the temperature is not something that I look for before I wrap it. I just look for a nice, even bark across my brisket. But I have probed it before, and it's in that 170 range, 175 range.
Okay.
So it's already hot going into the butcher paper. And from that point, it's 4 hours wrapped. And I pull the brisket off when it's nice and tender. You said my pull-off temperature, it's always over 200 degrees. 203, some briskets just kind of let go. And what I mean by let go is they get really tender. The longer you ride it, it just gets more and more tender. So you want to use a good instant read thermometer and use it just as a tool to check the tenderness, not so much the temperature. Once it's nice and tender, then you pull it off. And it's,
yeah,
most of my briskets are pulled at that between 203, 208 degrees. Then I pull them off, vent the butcher paper, let that excess of heat just vent from the brisket. Leave it on my counter till it hits about 165 if I'm going to eat pretty quick. And once it hits 165, then I can slice it. It's nice and juicy. That letting the brisket rest allows the juices to kind of distribute back into that brisket. You pull a brisket out at 204 degrees and you immediately slice it, those juices are going to run out really fast. Letting it rest is key.
You don't let it rest you don't put it in a cooler. You let it rest, you just let it rest out. Okay.
I put it, if I'm catering, I will put it in a Cambro for up to 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still, I'm not a fan of, and I know a lot of people do it, and there's nothing wrong with it. You do what works for you.
Right.
But a lot of people pull it out, wrap it in a towel, put it in the cooler immediately without burping the excess of heat. Well, that brisket's going to continue to cook, and it might get a little too tender sometimes.
Yeah. I agree. I tell people, and we only got a couple of minutes left, but I tell people to the resting part is so important, because I tell people when they're cooking a brisket, don't worry about the flat. Take your temperature readings in the point. And they say, well, I worry about the flat. I said, don't worry about the flat. The flat will follow the point. And that's what happens when you wrap it. It all redistributes. And not when you wrap it, but when you pull it off and you let it rest. that's when everything redistributes and makes it, and it all kind of, you know, that's when it kind of all comes together. You know what? Is, you know, when you let that thing rest. Joe Martinez, you've been a joy. We sure appreciate you. Tell everybody where we can find Joe Martinez, Smoking Joe's Pit Barbecue, on social media.
Well, you can find me at Smoking Joe's Pit Barbecue on YouTube. On Instagram, it's at Smoking Joe's Pit Barbecue. Facebook, if you want to friend me on Facebook, I'm fine with that. Just my name, Joe Martinez. I do a little bit of Twitter, but most of my activity is on YouTube and Instagram.
Well, Joe, you've been great, and look forward to your new videos, and we're going to get you back on here during the summer and talk a little bit more about the Tex-Mex thing, okay? We're going to do a little griddle talk sometime. How about that?
Absolutely. Sounds good. Steve and Jeff, I appreciate you.
All right, Joe, you hang on. We'll do a little Facebook bonus. Everybody on the radio side, thank you for listening, and we'll be back here next Friday night right here on Talk Radio 102.3 at 7 for the Owl's Nest Barbecue Show Live. Until then, good night and good luck. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Steve.
No, not you, Joe. The other Joe.
No.
I had two Joes. We usually hang around for the Facebook crowd for a few minutes.
No, that's fine.
You're fantastic, Joe. You're fantastic. How long have you been doing the YouTube channel?
A little over 2 years now.
Wow. You have generated a ton of content in 2 years.
Yeah, I've got a really good following, man. I love my subscribers. You know, I get pretty good views, and I actually have a video that's starting to go viral too. It's a tomahawk video that I did a couple of weeks ago, and it just hit over 100,000 views, and that's big for me anyway.
Yeah,
I watched that.
It's amazing.
Dude, I haven't watched it yet. Was that one where you smoked it? Did you smoke it first and then sear it to finish it off?
Yes, and I smoked it on my Yoder Frontiersman. It's kind of funny seeing those two tomahawks and that big smoker. And I wanted to be unique in this video and use my grill grease. So on my Yoder Frontiersman, the firebox has a lid. Well, I found that my grill grease fit right across it.
Oh, my gosh.
What if I put a couple of sticks in that firebox, get that flame really hot?
Oh, how cool.
Put my grill grease on there. And people were like, even my wife, when she saw that video, did you not burn yourself? I said, no, I've got those gloves on there. I didn't even feel the heat, you know?
You know, I never thought about that. What a great part of the smoker to cook on, the firebox.
Mm-hmm. Right over it. And, you know, I was using post oak, so you have that post oak. You know, a lot of people that smoke don't think that their wood that they're using to smoke is the last ingredient that you're putting on whatever you're cooking. It's the very last ingredient, that flavor, but it's the